Thank you for joining us today for a message from the Word of God. What follows is a recording from one of our live worship services at Gooch Lane Church of Christ in Huntsville, Alabama. If you're ever in the area, we'd love to have you join us in person. And if you like what you hear today, you can visit us online at goochlanechurch.com, where we have videos, weekly articles on biblical topics, information about our services, and more.
I grew up at the Kleinwood Church in Houston, and our very first preacher was W.R. Jones. My friends and I would sit up on the front row, and we would try, as he was preaching, to copy down all of his overhead charts. And so he'd be preaching away on the church or heaven and hell or the judgment, and we'd try to write everything down. I'm sure one night he thought I was doing that, and really I was drawing a picture of Brother Jones baptizing someone who at that time was important to me, was the Incredible Hulk. And I took Brother Jones that picture and showed it to him in the foyer. And I imagine where most preachers might just tell a kid, go run around in the parking lot, he studied it and he kind of adjusted his glasses and he just said, "Well, the gospel is for all." And that's why we're here tonight, isn't it? Because the gospel of Jesus Christ is for all. That's why you're having this meeting this week, because you want people in this area to know that the gospel is for all. So thank you for your interest in the gospel of Jesus Christ tonight. I have some of my co-laborers in our assembly, my preaching brothers, to whom I would gladly yield my time and listen to them. But we're a part of a special fraternity. Nobody roots harder for a preacher to hit a home run than another preacher, because God is glorified by that. And so it's wonderful to be in an area to have so many brethren who love the Lord and are devoted to the gospel of Jesus Christ, which is for all. Thank you for being here. I want to encourage you to open in your Bible to Mark chapter 10, the Gospel of Mark, the 10th chapter, where we will consider a conversation that Jesus had with the 12 apostles in Mark chapter 10. And I want us to start reading together at verse 35. If you have your Bible and can follow along, open to that passage. Mark chapter 10, verse 35. "And James and John, the two sons of Zebedee, came up to him, saying to him, 'Teacher, we want you to do for us whatever we ask of you.' And he said to them, 'What do you want me to do for you?' And they said to him, 'Grant that we may sit in your glory, one on your right and one on your left.' But Jesus said to them, 'You do not know what you are asking for. Are you able to drink the cup that I drink, or to be baptized with the baptism with which I am baptized?' And they said to him, 'We are able.' And Jesus said to them, 'The cup that I drink, you shall drink, and you shall be baptized with the baptism with which I am baptized. But to sit on my right or on my left, this is not mine to give, but it is for those for whom it has been prepared.' And hearing this, the ten began to feel indignant with James and John. And calling them to himself, Jesus said to them, 'You know that those who were recognized as rulers of the Gentiles lord it over them, and their great men exercise authority over them. But it is not so among you. But whoever wishes to become great among you shall be your servant. And whoever wishes to be first among you shall be slave of all. For even the Son of Man did not come to be served, but to serve and to give his life a ransom for many. You are familiar with the concept of a mission statement. Companies publish their mission statement. And this is so the public will know this is why we're in business. This is what we want to accomplish. This is what our goal is as a company. And so, for instance, the mission statement of Starbucks: uplift the everyday. Coca-Cola: to refresh the world. Federal Express: where now meets next. AT&T: to connect people with their world and to keep you on hold while they do that. That's their mission statement. Well, aren't you glad that we don't have to guess what Jesus' mission was when he came to the earth? He does not leave that for us to speculate or wonder, but gives it plainly in that last verse that we read together in Mark chapter 10 and verse 45. For the Son of Man did not come, that sound like a mission statement, did not come to be served. Now, he had every right to be served. He was the King of Kings, the Son of the Living God. He had every right to come and say, bow down and serve me. But he said, that wasn't my mission. He didn't come to be served, but to serve and to perform the greatest act of service ever known to mankind, to give his life a ransom for many. That was Jesus' mission. And as we're talking about first things first this week, I want you to know we will never be his disciples. We will never come after him and follow him until we make Jesus' mission our mission. That our mission statement would be to serve. Why would we do that? Because we're just following our master. Jesus said, you either serve or you'll be served. And this was never greater explained to me than a brother in Beaumont, Texas, who told me after I had preached. He said, you know, there are only two options in life. He said, you will either wear a bib, which means you want to be served, or you will wear an apron, which is the garment of the servant. So think about that in your life tonight. Which is your mission and which will you choose? Are you going to wear a bib and demand that people cater to you? It's got to be my way. We're going to do this the way I want. Are you going to embrace your mission of service? And like Jesus, our Lord, choose to wear an apron. Well, before you're too quick to sign on, I want to remind you some things that Jesus said are part of being a servant, part of this mission of service. And they're identified for us right here in this text. The first thing we need to understand about serving is that service, number one, is for volunteers. Service is not something you can be forced into. It's got to be something you choose. Did you notice how Jesus phrased that in verse 43? So James and John came to him with this request about his kingdom. We call them, or they are called by Jesus, the sons of thunder, which to me always sounded like a wrestling team. And we're never given the explanation as to why James and John are called the sons of thunder. But perhaps it was related to this very request. Give to us. You think they're thinking about other people? Give to us that we may sit in your glory. Let us be on the right and on the left. Let us have these positions of power and prominence. And notice what Jesus said in verse 43. It is not so among you, but whoever wishes to become great shall be your servant. And whoever wishes to be first among you shall be slave of all. It's that very same language as the great discipleship passage in Matthew 16 and verse 24. Whoever wishes to come after me, let him take up his cross, let him deny himself, take up his cross, and follow me. Do you hear the volunteer language there? Whoever wishes. You've got to want to do this. You've got to choose, because service is for volunteers. Isn't that what they saw in Jesus? Think of what Jesus said in the Good Shepherd passage in John 10. I lay down my life on my own initiative. Nobody takes it from me. He said, I lay it down that I may take it up again. Remember, he came to give his life a ransom for many. Nobody forced him. Nobody made him. He gave it. It was his mission of service. Now, I understand we have people who work in what we call the service industry, and that's not their first choice for job. And you can tell. I mean, you ever been at a restaurant and afraid to ask for another knife that they might just throw it at you across the room? And maybe they're having to work two or three jobs. Maybe that's how they're getting through college or working because of an emergency to make ends meet. I'm not saying that we shouldn't appreciate them, but then it makes a difference when you go to Chick-fil-A. Because everything there is my pleasure. You ever notice that? It doesn't matter what you say. You could say, thank you for being annoying today. And they would say, my pleasure. Try it next time you go. But that gets my attention. That impresses me. Because it causes me to wonder this. Would people in the world conclude that it's my pleasure to serve Jesus Christ? Or are there times where I look like I'm serving because I feel like I have to? This isn't what I want to do. This isn't what I would choose. Service is for volunteers. Can I ask you tonight, did Jesus have to go to the cross for you? Did Jesus have to die? He chose. It was his mission. Not to be served, but to serve and to give his life a ransom for many. Don't you think we ought to embrace this mission and choose to serve as those to whom it is our pleasure? That when we would hear the call, "Whom shall I send? Who will go for us?" that we, like Isaiah, would say, "Here am I, send me." That's a volunteer. Who's going to do this service for Brother So-and-so this month? Who's going to help with this need among our brothers and sisters? Who's going to make sure that the visitors are greeted and welcomed to come back? Who's going to volunteer? We've got a need in a Bible class and we need a helper. Who's going to do that? Here am I. Send me. Service is for volunteers. You know who we learned that from? Jesus. Because his mission was to serve. If we're going to be his disciples, we're going to have to make his mission our mission. Well, secondly, service is not only for volunteers, but this service, number two, is for the selfless. Service is for the selfless because there's no such thing as a selfish servant. And this conversation also bore that out. Remember the request in verse 37. James and John, "Give to us that we may sit in your glory." They were picturing in their mind likely an earthly kingdom with Jesus enthroned, but they wanted to be the ones whom he would send out to execute judgment. Maybe they would be the ones to go out and defeat the Roman Empire. They would be the ones to go out and to quell all of this oppression that the Jewish people had been experiencing through the Roman occupation. It was James and John, remember, when the villages of the Samaritans refused Jesus and the apostles to pass through, and it was the sons of thunder who said, "Lord, do you want us to rain down fire from heaven and destroy them?" Talk about off mission. Jesus came to seek and save the lost. James and John wanted to burn them to a crisp. But again, the focus was on self. Did they ever see that in Jesus? What they saw in their Lord was someone who never looked out for his own interests, but always on the interests of others. Even on the cross. Now, we call those the seven sayings of Jesus on the cross, seven things that the gospel writers identify that he said. But even in this most selfish of circumstances, I want you to see that Jesus was still thinking about other people. To the thief, "Today you shall be with me in paradise." To his mother, "Woman, behold thy son." I must say, when I was a kid, I used to think, and 10,000 angels, the song kind of helps you come to that conclusion. I used to think Jesus was talking about himself. Mom, look what they've done to me, your son. But the next phrase is, son, behold your mother. Jesus taking care of his mother as the firstborn son, that John would care for her after his death. Father, forgive them, for they do not know what they're doing. You think about that the next time you're rationalizing in your mind, why should I forgive them? What's he done to deserve forgiveness? Why should I forgive her? Service is for the selfless. It was Jesus' mission, because there's no such thing as a selfish servant. When our kids were little, they're 3 years apart, and so there was always this ongoing competition about who was going to do what first, who was going to be the first to say this or do that, the first to accomplish this. And one day they were arguing about something in the kitchen, and my wife Melissa just called it, who's going to be selfless? And one of them said, I'll be selfless first. That's what we do. Service is for the selfless. When you put God first, first things first, did you know that you don't even put yourself second? Somebody helped me with that years ago. Just to think about the word joy and how you spell the word joy. And what that does is align for you your priorities that will bring you joy. And that's Jesus, others, and yourself. Now that is completely backward to what our world thinks will make you happy. You mean you're putting yourself last? But the scripture says, rejoice with those who rejoice. Did you know that if you only rejoice in the good things that happen to you, then right off the bat, you're cutting in half your opportunities to be joyful. You can't rejoice when something good happens to another because all you can think of is, why do they always get the breaks? Why does everything fall into his lap? She never has to suffer like I do. Rejoice. Service is for the selfless. It's not about you. In that same passage, keep your place here, but look at Romans chapter 12. Romans, the 12th chapter. So verse 15 is, rejoice with those who rejoice. But look at verse 10. Of Romans 12. Be devoted to one another in brotherly love. Give preference to one another in honor. These are local church responsibilities. These are brothers and sisters in Christ. Give preference to one another in honor. Think about that with relation to James and John's request. Give to us that we may sit in your glory. Do you see why later on in that text it says that the ten began to be indignant with James and John? See, usually they're called the 12. But because James and John were focusing on themselves, now it's the 10 verses 2. Selfishness destroys unity. Because it's about you. Like you, we at Southside use the paperless hymnal. And I remember when Tim Stevens first introduced that to Southside during the lectures one year. And shortly afterward, the elders said, we're going to try that for a probationary period. And we want to hear feedback from the church. Now, it was not a truth or error, right or wrong issue. It's the same information in the book that's on the screen. So it was a matter of personal preference. And I must admit, I was surprised at the very first group who spoke out in favor of the paperless hymnal. It was the older people. They said, you know, these books are heavy. And these pages are hard to turn. The guy's already on the second verse by the time we get there. And when we stand up to sing, we've got to hold on to the pew and try to hold the book with one hand. They said, this is helping our worship. The second demographic to speak up, the mothers with young children. We're like you. We've got a lot of them. And we got more on the way. We even put a column in the weekly bulletin. You know how you'd have the shut-ins in the area meetings? We have a column for expectant mothers because we got five or six on there. They'll all deliver. We put five or six more on there. Our motto is, if you can't convert them, conceive them. And so we're just getting right after it. But these young mothers were saying, you know, it's hard to hold a diaper bag and a kid and a songbook. This is helping our worship. In any change, there are going to be people who don't particularly care for it. And we had some of those. But do you know what they said? They said, it's not really our preference, but if it's helping their worship, we're all in. If it's helping them to worship better, we're for it. Give preference to one another in honor. Service is for the selfless. We learned that from Jesus' mission. Let's make His mission to serve our mission, or we can't be His disciples. Number three, service is not just for volunteers and for the selfless, but third, it's for the humble. Those who will humble themselves. And that's exactly what Jesus said in verse 43. Whoever wishes to be great among you shall be your servant, and whoever wishes to be first shall be slave of all. In the great passage of humility in Philippians chapter 2, Jesus humbled Himself. He existed in the form of God and took on the form of a bondservant. And being made and found in the appearance of man, He humbled Himself by becoming obedient to the point of death, even the death of the cross. And do you know how Jesus demonstrated that humility? He put on an apron. He didn't come to wear a bib. He came to put on an apron and to serve. I've often wondered in John 13 when the disciples are eating the Passover. If Jesus didn't put before them a test, in the ancient world, it would have been common to enter a house and for there to be stationed a servant whose job it was to wash feet. Remember, they traveled on dirty, dusty roads and they had open-toed sandals. And so they had secured the room in the house to eat the Passover. And they all get there and there's no servant ready to wash feet. And not one of the 12 apostles said, "I got it. I'll do it tonight. I'll serve." Not one. In fact, what were they doing? Arguing about which one was the greatest. And so who volunteered for the job? Jesus. Got up from the table, laid aside his garment, girded himself with the towel, and went around and washed the disciples' feet. Even Peter, who would deny him that night. Even Judas, who would betray him that night. Because Jesus said, "The one who is the greatest is the slave of all." You know, I can be a pretty good servant if I get to pick and choose who I want to serve. People who are always kind to me. People who I think would probably do the same if the roles were reversed. And as a local church, we can be good about visiting the elder's wife who's in the hospital. Or the deacon's wife who's sick, and so we're going to take food over to their house. But what about the member who's always just barely hanging on? I mean, they just seem to always operate on the periphery. Are we just as willing to drop everything and serve them? Even the least of these, my brethren. Service is for the humble. Don't you love the hymn that Matt Basford and Tim Jennings wrote? "Make me a servant. Take all my pride." Can't serve till you humble yourself. I used to worry a lot about being what I call vertically challenged. And not anything I can do about it. And the Lord must have wanted me this way, so I'm just going to be the best 5 foot nine Christian that I could be. If he wanted me taller, he'd have made me that taller. But here's what I've come to grips with. Perhaps he knew I would struggle with pride, and so it's just keeping me lower to the ground. Take all my pride. Make me a servant. Make me like you. That I would adopt Jesus' mission for my mission. In the ancient world, there was a Roman coin minted that had a picture of an ox, and to one side of the ox was a plow, and to the other side of the ox was an altar where it would be slaughtered. And the inscription at the bottom of the coin said, "Ready for either." James and John said, "We are ready, Lord, to be baptized with the baptism with which you are baptized." And Jesus said, "You shall drink that cup." John was the one who was slaughtered. In Acts 12, Herod pointed to him, and you can imagine a son of thunder would probably stand out. And Herod said, "I want him dead." And James was beheaded. John is, we call him, the aged apostle. Probably wrote the book of Revelation in the late 90s. And so he was ready to go plow and go serve as long as he could. But you see, they were ready for either, because the sons of thunder humbled themselves to become servants of the living God. And both James and John would have heard those words from Jesus, "Well done, good and faithful servant." And that's what we want to hear. That's the words we want Jesus to say to us when we see him face to face. "Well done, good and faithful servant." And you know what we'll say then? "Mission accomplished." You ready to serve Jesus? It could be that the first thing you need to do is confess your faith in him and be baptized, to come and enlist in the army of the living God and join an army of servants. It could be that you need the prayers and encouragement of your brothers and sisters to weep with those who weep, to help us remember our mission when we get distracted by the things of the world. This invitation of Jesus Christ is open because the gospel is for all. If you have need, let us know right now. Just come up to the front while we stand up and while we sing.
Thanks again for joining us today. If you have questions about anything you heard or anything Bible-related, you can use the contact form on our website at goochlanechurch.com to submit a question, and someone will be in touch. There's lots of other great Bible content on our site as well. The web address again is goochlanechurch.com. Once again, thanks for listening, and we hope to see you in person soon.